want to do today is probably anti what some pastor should do on Easter Sunday, is read a bunch of scripture from an Old Testament portion. But I want to set the stage reading all this entire chapter. It's Isaiah chapter 53. And if you know what it's reading, what it's speaking about, you'll already be kind of in the loop of where we're going to go. But maybe this is new to you. Isaiah writes this. He's a prophet in the Old Testament, and he writes, there's about 61 or 63 books, I guess, that we have in the scriptures that he actually recorded, chapters. But he wrote this particular prophecy about 800 years before the Messiah would show up. And remember, now you know, we're looking back. We're looking back at the New Testament, you know, a couple thousand years ago, and we're looking back even further, you know, centuries, you know, thousands of years before that, with the Old Testament being written. So we're looking at the whole Bible, and we can kind of figure out what he was talking about back 800 years before Christ, but they had no idea. So no one knew who the Messiah was going to be, but Isaiah is prophesying exactly what the Messiah would do. Didn't know who he was, but they could see what he would do. So the words that we're about to read were completely fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53, look on the screen behind me. He writes, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the strength of the Lord been revealed? For he, the Messiah, shall grow up before him, before God, as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there's no beauty in him that we should desire him." There was nothing in the Messiah, Jesus, that would point out earlier that this is someone special. This is someone unique. He looked like us. He lived among us. He combed his hair like us. He lived in the same type of house like us. Verse 3, "He's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief." He says, "And we hid, as it were, our faces from him." Notice that he says, "we did." He wasn't there, but he says, "we did. We hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we didn't esteem him. Surely," verse 4, "he has borne our griefs." The word griefs means sicknesses. "And carried our sorrows." Sorrows means pains. "Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten," or struck down by God, "and afflicted. He was wounded," pierced through, the word means, "for our transgressions. He was bruised," or crushed, "for our iniquities. The chastisement," the word means punishment, "for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." All we like sheep, all we, no one missing, no one good enough, all we like sheep have gone astray. "We have turned everyone to his own way." That's me, that's you, that's the prophet. "And the Lord God has laid on him," Jesus, "the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." He did this before Pilate and before the religious leaders. He didn't say anything. "He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. He was buried in a rich man's grave," Joseph of Arimathea, "because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth." Verse 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord God to bruise and crush him," Jesus. "He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed," this is me and you, "and prolong his days," Christ's days, "and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." Last verse. "Therefore," God says, "I will divide to him," to Jesus, "a portion with the great, and he," Jesus, "will divide the spoil with the strong." This is me and you. "Because he poured out his soul into death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Can you just say it with me? The word of the Lord. Look on the screen real quickly. Jesus was despised and rejected. Jesus took the punishment of our sins and our iniquity. Jesus stayed in silent obedience. Jesus was pierced and crucified on the cross. Jesus had never committed any violent sin against God. God caused Jesus to be crushed for us. Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. Jesus interceded for sinners. Jesus was buried in a rich man's grave. Jesus was exalted and gave his righteousness to man. The man Isaiah is prophesying about is none other than Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can I get an amen? Now, why this day is so important, listen to me, is that the death and resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of belief in our resurrection. He wasn't raised because he was just a good person. He wasn't raised because he just worked miracles. He was raised because he was spotless and sinless, blameless, holy before God and holy before man. There is no one like Jesus. And listen to me, since the scriptures tell us, since he was raised, we will be raised. Now, there's an amazing part of this whole thing of resurrection. So let me digress for 30 seconds here for a moment. Is that the Apostle Paul brings out this stunning revelation in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe it is. Paul talks about that because of this event, this resurrection, everything in heaven and earth gets resurrected. The scriptures say, if you'll remember, that there is coming a time of a new heavens and a new earth because of this event. Listen to me. If you like going to the beach and like the waves and like the smell, you wait to heaven. If you like to go to the mountains and see the glory, you wait for a new heavens and a new earth. Everything is going to be resurrected, including man. The Bible says something fearful, though. There'll be a resurrection for the just. There'll also be a resurrection for the unjust to stand before God and pay for the acknowledgement of not making Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. It's fearful. It should grip us. But this resurrection says, I don't have to live that way. I don't have to believe that. I can experience the changed life because Jesus changed my life through his blood. Come on, everybody. Come on. So even if you believe this, which I hope you do, and we'll pray in a moment if you don't, but you might be thinking, okay, Isaiah, and you read the scripture, and I wasn't there, you know, and that was 800 years before Jesus, so that's, you know, let's call it 2,900 years ago. I wasn't there, but maybe you're asking some questions like, why do we need to be saved? Why do we need to be saved? So let's talk for a few minutes about a couple of these words. Why do we need to be saved? How can I be saved? Or who needs this? Who needs this? How's Jesus going to do this? And who really needs this? The Apostle Paul says something crazy. If you read his scriptures in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, he breaks out constant insight of who Jesus really was and who we really were. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, that you were dead in trespasses and sin. This is the condition you and I were born with when we came into the earth. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We just had our sixth grandchild. We didn't have it, but my son had it, you understand? That'd be kind of a little different. In Vegas, and he's 6 months old. And my son, you know, who's a big guy, was holding him today, and he just, you know, showed us a picture of Mac, and he's amazing. He's just this kind, sweet, little happy kid, 6 months old. Never did anything wrong. I mean, you know, I mean, he might have pooped his pants a couple times, you understand? But never did anything egregious towards his parents or anybody. But listen to me. That little beautiful boy, Mac, is a sinner. He's got a sin nature on the inside of him that must be born again to be right with God. No matter how good it looks, no matter how wonderful it is, the scripture says that we were all dead in trespasses and sins. Paul points this out in the book of Romans chapter 5, and it's an interesting translation. It's actually called the Easy Translation. Look at it on the screen. It was because one man, Adam, that sin came into the world. Why do we need to be saved? Sin came through this one man. Death was the result of Adam's sin. Because of that death, death came to all people because everyone failed to obey God. What in the world is the Apostle Paul talking about? Well, the word Adam actually means mankind. That's what his name means by definition. So God said, when I make the first man, whatever the first man does will be what all mankind would have done. Simply put, if we were there, we would have done exactly the same thing that Adam and Eve did. We would have sinned. We would have disobeyed God. We would have been deceived by the tricks and deception of the serpent, Satan himself. And we know that sin, what happened in that Genesis account? The first thing after they sinned, what did they do? They realized they were naked. They were ashamed. And they tried to cover and hide themselves. Every single time I sin or you sin, there's a realization, I've sinned. I'm naked. I'm open before God. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have looked it. I shouldn't have touched it. Whatever it is that we do. And the Bible says the thing that they did is the very same thing we do. We run and we hide. And we find out from the account that what changed the encounter was God chased after them and found them in their hiding. Aren't you glad Jesus found you? Come on, everybody. Why do we need to be saved? Romans 3:23. For everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. What does that mean? What does that mean? That our sin, here's what it means. Our sin was against a just and a righteous God. All sin deserves punishment. All sin deserves punishment. We sinned against God. We were born in this sin-stained world. You didn't ask to be born. I didn't either. But we were born in this sin-stained world. And yet God's made a remedy to circumvent the power and effects of sin in your and my life. And the remedy and the source of the power is the person, Jesus Christ. The glorious standard that scripture says, everyone has sinned and falls short of the glorious standard. The glorious standard is simply holiness. It's holiness before God. And no man in themselves, apart from relationship with Jesus Christ, can stand in the presence of a holy God uncondemned. But the Bible says when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he now calls you holy and blameless in my sight. Listen, you have to see yourself this way. Where God longs to have relationship and fellowship and communion, the scripture says, with you. Not based on if you're good enough, if you've read enough scripture, if you've given enough or prayed for enough people. Just simply, he wants to have relationship with you because he's madly in love with you. He brings you blameless before him, without fault, without sin, or without error. So we can boldly, the scripture says, come to the throne room of grace to find mercy and grace to help us in a time of need. Not, once more time, not because of anything we've done. We sang it all morning. It's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. But the reality, as we've said it already, is that a holy God cannot dwell within an unholy vessel. A holy God cannot dwell within an unholy vessel. And it wasn't just God coming and walking amongst us. Now we know from scriptures God wanted to come inside man. But the only way he can do that is to make you new on the inside. And so religion, maybe some of you in the church and you've been some, probably a lot of you have been to some different churches and I have too, and you've been to where the preacher or the people or the pastor or the minister and they're saying, you gotta change, you gotta change, you gotta change, you're a sinner going to hell. And all that might be true, but it never helped me and it probably didn't help you. That kind of sounded like a Dr. Seuss rhyme, didn't it? Man, don't be Dr. Seussing me up here. What's going to change when I realize what he did for me and who he made me to be? He loves you. He saved you. He delivered you. He called you. He blessed you. He accepted you. He redeemed you. He transformed you. He sealed you. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. That's what the Bible says. Do you earn it? Listen to me. Hear me on the Easter. Did you earn it? Here's the word. Forgive me. Hell no. Hope I shocked you. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. This is what grace is. God gives to you what you don't deserve. And he took upon himself, listen to me, what he never deserved. He never deserved the cross. He never deserved the shame. He never deserved the despising. He never deserved the crown of thorns. He never deserved nails in his hands and his feet. He never deserved a piercing on his side. He never deserved being rejected by his own family. Never. But he did it for you so you could be made holy and be brought in right standing with the Father forever and ever. Can I get an amen in the room? So what's God do? Here's what he does. We just said it, but look on the screen. Here's what he does. Colossians 1. Once you were alienated from God, you were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. Colossians 1, 21. Verse 22, but now, come on, say but now. He has reconciled you. He's reconciled the account. He's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you're away from God today, what you need to do is unashamedly run to the Father today. And he will be with wide open arms saying, I'm so glad you're home. No accusing word, no where you've been, no you got to do this to be right with me, no you got to wash the car and mow the yard to be right with me. No. He says, you come to me, I'm going to kill the fatted calf. We're going to have carne asada tonight, baby. Yes, we are. We're going full on Mexican tonight. That's what we're doing. We had lumpia last week or something. We had a time here. Why do we need to be saved? Because we were dead. How does Jesus save? How's he going to do this? How's he going to do this? Scripture tells us he became what we are. He was born human, yet fully God. Look on the screen, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, made him Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He didn't know any sin. He became sin for us. Since we didn't know any righteousness, he gave us his righteousness. What an exchange. What an exchange. God became man so man could come to God. The only sin Jesus ever had was ours. And the only righteousness we could ever have is his. You're not righteous in yourself. You can't make yourself righteous. It's all because the blood of Jesus. So the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, come on, read it with me. Will you do it? Come on, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You want a new kind of life? Listen to me. I don't think you need to go to the bar and find a new drink. I don't think you need to go find a new kind of medical marijuana. I don't think you need a new husband or a new wife. I think you just need to realize more and more that he's made all things new. That I can be changed on the inside. I can be a new kind of person because of what Jesus has done for me. When he suffered on the cross, our sin was taken away by Jesus. Listen to me. And now this righteousness was credited to your and to my account. Free. 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 Doesn't require anything. Doesn't ask anything besides one thing that we'll talk about right now. We need to be saved. How's he going to do it? God's going to become man. The perfect is going to take on this sin-stained world and live a perfect life as 100% God and 100% man. And he's going to go to the cross and he's going to suffer and he's going to die in your and my stead, in our place, so that we could be right with God, in right standing with God, and not have the sense of sin, shame, guilt, or inferiority, like we don't belong, but have a relationship with him. And when we mess up, we can come back to him and ask him to forgive us. And he willingly and graciously forgives us time and time and time. Come on, somebody, and time and time and time again. So who does Jesus save? Who? John 3:16. I heard it when I was a little boy at the Met Stadium in New York City when my parents, when we lived there as a little kid. There was a preacher, I don't know if you ever heard of him before, named Billy Graham. And I watched as a little kid, and I was sitting up in the baseball stands and watched as he gave an altar call, preaching out of a simple message of this, and watched thousands of people go to the infield and give their life to Jesus. And he simply read this scripture, "For God so loved the world." Come on, help me, you're doing that good. Come on, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, keep reading. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Who does Jesus save? Whoever. 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 Come on. Good, bad, rich, poor, black, white, brown. I don't care what color you are. Whoever. Crack addict, prostitute, multimillionaire, whoever, alcoholic, workaholic, whoever. Whoever believes in him. Come on, whoever believes in him. Come on, whoever believes in him. Not perish. Listen, everlasting life is an interesting word. It means not only the longevity of life, the duration of life, but it means right now on the earth you can have a quality of life you're not currently enjoying. Listen to me. It's not just about heaven. It is heaven. Thank God we're going to live forever and ever with him. You got to make it to heaven. You got to. There is no other way. You'll die in your sin. You'll live separated God from eternity, the scripture says. I don't believe in the hell. Well, you will one day. I believe the scriptures, but you don't have to. You can be connected to God in right relationship through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do you do that? How do I do that? What do you call on the name of the Lord? Say, hey, how do I do that? I'm so glad the scripture is clear. Why don't you think about this right now? In just a moment, we'll give you an opportunity to do this. Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth, how do I call? I confess with my mouth, the Lord Jesus. And I do something else. I believe in my heart. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. You mean I don't have to like join a church? You mean I don't have to like commit to going door to door and knocking? You mean I don't have to like commit to like stand on the street corner with signs and pass out stuff? No. All you got to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You will be saved. Verse 10. With the heart you believe to right standing with God, righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Carlos, come help me, will you? There's a guy I follow online. His name's Pastor Josh Howerton. Some of y'all might have heard of him. He's in Dallas, Texas. And come on, you know everything's big in Texas. So he took over a church that was, my friend has met him before, took over a church that was probably about, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 8, 10,000 people. And I think they've got 30,000 people in the church now. And he's just a cool guy. He's just real, Texas kind of guy. And he said something that I thought was just outstanding. I want to bring it to you this morning. He talked about when Jesus said these words on the cross, these last words, "It is finished." Remember that? Number one, he didn't mean he was finished. Like it's over. He meant it is finished. But that word finished, it translated into the English language means three things. Listen real carefully. Number one, it is finished means this. In the business setting, it means that the receipt of a debt had been fully paid. The receipt of a debt fully paid. Secondly, it was used in a courtroom setting, meaning that the sentence was fully served. Sentence fully served. And lastly, it's used in a military setting, meaning that the enemy has been conquered and the battle has been completely won. So when Jesus said, it's finished, look on the screen, three things. Listen to me. Your debt of sin has been fully paid. Secondly, when he said it is finished, the judgment for your sin has been fully served. He served it for you, the judgment. And lastly, the spiritual war against your enemy, Satan, has been fully won. Come on, somebody, clap your hands. Jesus is victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Come on, everybody, over the power of the enemy. And so listen to me this morning. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Here's the great apostle Paul, who's been serving God for about 20 or 30 years at this time, and he writes this book to the Philippian church. He's been hungry after God. He's gone after God. He's been shipwrecked and beaten and tortured for his faith. And yet he says this in this great chapter in Philippians 3:10. He said, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to know him. The word know means intimate, an intimate relationship, like between a husband and a wife. I want to get face to face, intimate more than I'm more intimate with Kimberly than I'm anybody else. And this scripture uses that same word that Paul says, we can know Christ. We can know him and experience that same mighty power that raised him from the dead. Listen, do you want that? Do you want that? It's free. It's free. It's free. Look, death was proof that Jesus was human. Resurrection was proof that he is God. All over the room. All over the room. Stand with me, would you do it? All over the room. Jesus was despised. Jesus was rejected. Jesus was forgotten. Jesus was beaten. Jesus was crucified for you. Listen to me. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about Jesus. If you confess him as Lord, he will be faithful and just to forgive you of all sin. You believe in your heart. You confess him as Lord in just a few moments. You ask him to forgive you for your sin. Listen to me. He unequivocally will. Can I tell you something? I'm not, I've been in some church services and I thought when people do altar calls, it's kind of like more emotional than anything, and I'm just not that kind of guy. I'm never ever going to try to trick or do anything like that with any of you in the room. But I just want the weight of this to sit with you for just a second. And here it is. You don't know what tomorrow holds. And let me just say this to you. 3 years ago, right about this time, a man who was in our church for about 18 months and married a woman who had a couple of girls, this man left this church service, hugging necks, shaking hands, amazing, growing in his faith, loved Jesus with all of his heart. Left right down here, came to the bottom of the stoplight by Soapy Joe's, took a right, went down Bonita Road, gonna meet some friends and gonna go have something to eat on his motorcycle. And right by McDonald's, someone T-boned him. Broke a bunch of bones and internal organs, messed him up bad. Saw him in the hospital. He was in a coma and never came out. About 7-10 days later, he died and went to heaven. Didn't want that, didn't believe it. I got all kind of questions why. But here's what I know. Stuff happens. Stuff happens. So just a question. No pulling on your emotions, just real. You know it, I know it. Are you ready if something happened to you today? Are you ready? Do you know where you're gonna be? Well, you know, I've been coming to church for a long time and I got baptized once and I got sprinkled and I took communion but do you know Jesus? Are you living for Jesus? So all over the room, come on. With your head bowed, your eyes closed. We're not gonna ask you to come up to the front, but I'm gonna ask you right there in the quietness of your chair, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Or are you away from him today? Maybe you knew him as a child, a teenager. Maybe you knew him a year and a half ago, 5 years ago, but you're in church today. Is your heart directed toward him? Is it directed toward him? Today, let's receive the sacrifice that he freely and willingly gave to you and me. So I'm gonna ask you to pray a prayer, but before I do, we're gonna pray a prayer out loud. You won't be the only one praying it. We're all gonna pray out loud together. But just by a show of hands, when I count to three, and you say, Pastor Gary, it's me, I wanna be included in this prayer. No one's looking around. It's just me and you, and maybe a couple ushers that can help me out. But all over the room, if you want to be included in this prayer, your hand being raised is just an act of your will saying, I want Jesus in my life. Come on, all over the room, you want to be included in this prayer? Come on, when I count to three, lift your hand. Come on, one, two, three, all in the room, lift your hand, say, that's me, I want Jesus, I want Jesus. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 20, 20, 20 hands. Come on, somebody clap your hands. I told you we're gonna pray. We're gonna pray right now. Listen to me. All you all that raised your hands, everybody just look at me for a second. Listen. This is the beginning of the first step of the rest of your life. I don't believe, listen to me. This could be debatable. I don't believe one and done. I don't believe I could just say a little prayer and then not have a life that follows after. I got to keep working out what he worked in. Believe in God, trust in Jesus, that he's at work inside me. So listen to me today. I believe this is the first step in a journey of many steps to go towards Jesus. Amen. I mean, we're meeting him. I'm not saying we got to keep going, but I'm saying we're going to follow after him. Come on, we're going to follow after him. So all in the room, come on, let's bow our heads, say this out loud with your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in Jesus' name. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, Jesus is now my Lord. I repent, I change my mind, and I change my direction. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said amen. Come on, amen. Come on, everybody. It's a new day. Come on, everybody. He makes all things new. He's risen. He's not here. Come on, everybody. He's risen. You prayed that prayer. Listen to me. You prayed that prayer. The Bible says you have been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. A dead spirit away from God has been made an alive spirit joined with him. Listen to me. Every day, spend some time with him. Get a Bible. You don't have a Bible, we can help you find a Bible. Read the Bible every day. It's spiritual food you need every day. Keep coming to church. Come on, if you're here, you're a guest from out of town, go to your home church. If you don't have a church, come on, we just believe this is a great church with a bunch of great, great people. So come, keep coming to church. Keep coming to church. And you that prayed that prayer, one of the next steps you might need to strongly consider is next week we're having a water baptism. And that's, again, the outward show of an inward work. We're identifying with the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come on, we go under the water, old man. We come up a new kind of man. Come on, everybody. And we're saying, I'm identifying. I'm a Christ follower. I'm identifying with Jesus. I'm identifying with Jesus' people. Come on, in Jesus' name. Before you leave today, listen, you that prayed that prayer, as Brittany said earlier, there's a little circular card, that connection card behind your chair. If you prayed that prayer today, making Jesus the Lord of your life, would you just tap that link there and connect with us? Give us the information concerning your own life so we can help you with next steps. We don't want you to come to church and say, oh man, no one talked to me, no one reached out to me. We are those kind of people. We're gonna bug you until, no, we're not gonna bug you. Come on, everybody. But we wanna reach out to you. We wanna help you in any way we can. Come on, we got small small groups. We got young adult ministry. We got youth group that can help you grow spiritually in Jesus' name. Listen, what an amazing service. Come on, can I just bless you one more time today with a priestly blessing from Numbers chapter 6. Come on, lift your hands. Would you do it all over the room? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, I proclaim the peace of God, the rest of God, the wholeness of God on the house of God here today, the church of the living God, in Jesus' name. Go be blessed. Hallelujah. Have an amazing Sunday. God bless you.